Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition, the Happier Happy Hour. Dom, we got a fine guest joining us right from the top. He is Charles Franklin, pollster extraordinaire, our friend. Charles, welcome back, man.
Good to be here.
I understand.
Thank you, Charles.
National polling the occasion, Charles, and presidential. We've already got a candidate declared, Donald Trump. And Ron DeSantis also polled. Charles, let's start with the big horse race. You know, it's never too early. How do you see the presidential contenders on the Republican side, sir?
Yeah, let me say the reason we do them this far out is not because this is the way the race is going to turn out. But in 2 years, we look back and we say, how did we get here? This is the way we know how we get there. It's history as it happens. And so, you know, please, folks, don't take this as predictions. But how things are changing and how the race is shaping up and within the parties, that's the reason we're doing this. Now, to answer your question, Ron DeSantis has been gaining steadily but slowly over the course of the year. And in this latest poll, is tied with Joe Biden, 42% to 42%, with 14% saying they'd either like someone else or wouldn't vote in that race. But that's particularly important in comparison to Donald Trump, who is trailing Biden 34 to 44. And that race, Biden has pulled a little bit further ahead over the last few months. In March, Biden led by 5 over Trump. Now he leads by 10 over Trump. So you can see here the shifting of the balance with Trump slipping a little further behind. DeSantis, who many people still aren't familiar with, moving in and catching up to Biden as of now.
You know what, though? He reminds me, DeSantis, in some twisted way, of Gubernator Scott Walker from the great state of Wisconsin. Because, of course, Scott Walker in his 2014 reelection campaign had every indication except actually saying the fact, reelect me so I can run for president. Well, DeSantis is about to drop the autobiography. And, you know, Scott Walker had his unintimidated book. But here's my thought. He could very much turn out to be a Scott Walker. Scott Walker was the top of the heap early in the polling. Do you remember those days when Scott Walker was something of a big thing?
I sure do. It lasted from roughly January until September. And the thing is, you're hearing a lot of these comparisons. Is DeSantis the Scott Walker this year? Is he the Jeb Bush of 2016 a little later?
Clap,
I think,
please.
There's a lot to that. At this stage, we don't know how well DeSantis will hold up. Sorry.
Charles, looking at the data here, while DeSantis certainly has gained ground when compared as a matchup against Biden, back in what, January, it was 34 DeSantis, 43 Biden, as mentioned, now tied up at 42 each. Yep. But Trump's been flat, man, back in what, November of last year, 35 Trump, Biden, 43, and now, right now, 34 Trump, Biden, 44. So, I mean, certainly Trump is not gaining any ground whatsoever. I mean, that seems pretty consistent.
No, I think that's right. Trump gained some ground in the summer when he tightened it up in March. It was a 5-point race. But he's slipped since then. And I think that's the important thing to watch in these numbers is how have they trended over the summer and fall? You see a little bit of rise for Trump in the summertime in his favorabilities as well as his vote. But he's been slipping a bit since then. and slipping even with Republican voters, which is maybe the more important thing at this stage of the process, is does he in fact look vulnerable, or is he the guy that's been written off too many times?
He's been written off too many times because he hasn't even started whacking at DeSantis. You wait. He's going after DeSantis. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch, you know, for political junkies like us. But you know who's going to wilter also? Mike Pence. Mike Pence, I see you polled on him, and even amongst Republicans, he's barely above water on favorable, unfavorable. Some still want to hang the guy, don't they, Charles?
I'm not sure if it's quite that bad, but certainly he's not surging with Republican voters. 51-40 on favorability for Pence. Not nearly as strong as DeSantis, nor as strong as Trump, for that matter, with GOP voters.
I'm sorry, I didn't look ahead. Did you guys do any polling on the Georgia race? I hear Herschel Walker is pro-vampire in that race.
Well, you know, depending on how you feel about vampires, I'm not sure if that's an endorsement or not an endorsement. Alas, we did not poll on Georgia.
Charles, some of the data from summertime. I mean, obviously, when I look at this, I see Trump kind of falling in some of these different charts after summer. I mean, of course, we had these yeah. congressional hearings. Does that play a role in Trump's, you know, declining numbers since the summer?
I think what we see is that Trump has this base in the party that some people call the always Trump faction of the GOP, 30-40%, I think most people put it. In our sample, it looks like maybe that's about 40% of Republican voters. But what Trump may slip with are the maybe Trump voters in the party, the folks that may have voted for him twice, but are now saying maybe it's time to move on, or maybe they are saying I can get Trump without the baggage from some other Republican candidate, or even, hey, he was great, I loved him, but it's time to move on and elect somebody that can be in office for two terms. You're hearing all that kind of story from Republicans that are offering an alternative to Trump without rejecting Trump outright.
Isn't that also how the minions pick? You had some other issues, Charles. I'm having a little fun with you, my friend. The issues that are on the top of the mind of voters in 2023, some of these issues, I'm really surprised by the percentages of support. Things like the limit the cost of prescription drugs seems logical, but when you see 92% of Americans favor something, seems like you should get it done. Passing a new voting rights law to protect every citizen's right to vote, 84%, increase federal aid to states and school districts to increase teacher compensation, 78%. There are some very popular thought processes. A lot of people are coming together. You know, will any way Congress could deliver on these aspirational dreams, Charles?
Well, I think one of the really interesting things is limiting the cost of prescription drugs is near the top with Republicans, not just near the top with Democrats and independents. So I think that's a fruitful area for further legislation on drug prices that, I mean, granted, in the new Congress with the Republican control of the House, it's going to be unlikely to pass much legislation. But on that one, and you know, also on a voting rights bill, that ranks in the top half with Republicans. Now, what people think about what the content of that bill might be could differ. And I actually think the bottom of the list is really surprising. Require Congress to reauthorize Social Security and Medicare every 5 years is dead last with Republicans. Even though you heard some Republicans suggest that we should take a look at Social Security and Medicare every year. So that's sort of a stunning surprise.
Certainly dead last in the extensive list that you have here that you polled on. But still, even as such, what, 40% of Republicans are still down with that idea, even though it's last on the list.
No, that's true. But relative to the other priorities, way down. And of course, not surprisingly, it's at the bottom with Democrats and nearly the bottom with Republicans.
What about impeaching? What about impeaching Joe Biden? Because overall, it doesn't seem like much of an issue near the bottom. But amongst
not
Republicans,
really much. Moves up with Republicans in the top half. But boy, it's not really the independent agenda, let alone the Democratic agenda. But, you know, you talk about who is being appealed to when Congress people on both sides pick these issues up and talk about them, whether they're going to pass or not. And I think what you're seeing here is that the sort of big symbolic issue of impeach Joe Biden for Republicans is very limited in who it appeals to.
Well, it's still 67% of them, Charles. And I would point out, anyone that watches Fox News knows the biggest issue on Fox News is, you know, porous borders, open borders, Joe Biden, all that kind of stuff. 94% of Republicans increase efforts to stop illegal immigration along the southern border. That's their number one issue by far, seemingly. Yep.
And we saw this in Wisconsin in our polling here throughout the year, you know, that the issue agendas of the two parties were really like night and day. Here, mostly they're like night and day, but prescription drugs just sort of leaps out at you as an exception to that.
Charles Franklin, Marquette University Law School polling, just a couple of minutes left in this segment. The elections, obviously lots of still fighting going on in Arizona over the elections. You polled on the topic. What are you hearing?
Yeah, well, the main thing is that there's less doubt about this year's elections than there are still about the 2020 election. That doesn't mean that everybody accepts the election results in among Republicans. We still get 49% that say they have some doubts about this year's election. But that's a lot better than the 60-something percent that we get about 2020. So the point is not that we've restored confidence in elections across the board, but it's moved better with independents and with Democrats, and even a bit better with Republicans. But still, half of Republicans are not too confident or not at all confident in the outcome. So long-term damage, but some improvement this year compared to 2020.
Couple of the former presidents, Charles, Obama, Bush, how were they seen by the American people in retrospect?
Yeah, I thought it was kind of nice to look at those former guys. Obama, 62% favorable. Bush, 51% favorable. Both looking pretty good compared to contemporary politicians.
Well, that's only attributable to Michelle Obama giving them a hug. Charles Franklin, I'd give you a hug if you were a little closer. Thanks for joining us today, sir, and bringing us the
new poll. Thanks so much. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Charles.
Come back, more Devils. Phone calls next. Call us.
The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Even though it's Dom's turn to go, I guess I'll do all the heavy lifting.
Oh, damn it.
Thank you to our most recent fine guest, Charles Franklin. What a fine one. Always appreciate when the pollster extraordinaire from the Marquette University Law School poll comes around on the Devil's Advocates. Also, thank you, Rick Smith, back in hour number one. And don't forget, if you miss any of the fine interviews, we podcast them at the civicmedia.us. You can find the Devil's Advocates every episode since, like, we started putting it on the Civic Media app. Not forever
the
ago.
Greatest hits you're gonna have to dig up somewhere else. Crew, we got some breaking news. You can join us
breaking
on the lines at 844-967-2789. Sorry about that, buddy. Let me throw this out there quick. Washington Post reporting a federal appeals court panel on Thursday halted an outside review of thousands of documents seized from former President Donald Trump's Florida residence, ruling that a lower court judge was wrong to appoint an expert to decide whether any of the materials should be shielded from criminal investigators. Trump sought the outside arbiter, known as a special master, after the FBI executed the court-approved search on his Mar-a-Lago home, or as he puts it, a raid, right? The U.S. District Judge Eileen Cannon of Florida agreed months ago to appoint Raymond Deary, Judge Brooklyn, as a special master to review the documents, rejecting the Justice Department's argument that presidents do not retain executive privileges after leaving office. Cannon also noted that the FBI took some of Trump's personal materials that were mixed in with the government documents. But the special master appointments are rare, and judges at the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit expressed concern at oral arguments that Cannon's decision was a troubling precedent, allowing the target of a search warrant to go into court and request a special master that could interfere with an executive branch investigation before an indictment ever is issued. The judges did not back down from that stance in their written opinion on Thursday, saying they could not issue an order that would allow any subject of a search warrant to block government investigations after the execution of the warrant. Nor can we write a rule that allows only former presidents to do so, the Thursday opinion read. Either approach would be a radical reordering of our case law limiting the federal court's involvement in criminal investigations, and both would violate bedrock separations of powers limitations. But, you know, don't bother Trump's appointed judge. Of course we knew that. She knew that. She did judge Trump's bidding anyway, and the appeals court slapped that down, like Trump's court's lawsuits have been getting slapped down for months. And so now hopefully, what, maybe a Trump indictment on the paper crimes coming sooner than later?
You know, at least visually, momentarily, Eileen Cannon, the newly chastised judge, the Trump supportive, doesn't she remind you just a little bit of that newly declared Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice?
Oh, right. Doral? Yes. Yes.
There's a little resemblance there.
Little physical resemblance there. In the opinion, the judges rebuked a central part of the argument by Trump's legal team that the Presidential Records Act allowed Trump to categorize presidential documents as personal ones, creating the need for a special master to determine whether personal documents should be shielded from investigators. While conceding that the search of a former president's property is indeed extraordinary, the judges said that fact would not affect our legal analysis. Ultimately, the judges said that the status of the documents as personal or presidential should not determine whether a special master is needed. The warrant for the search, the opinion said, was properly approved by a judge. Whether Trump was lawfully in possession of the seized documents could be assessed in future legal proceedings. The magistrate judge decided that issue when approving the warrant. To the extent that the categorization of these documents has legal relevance in future proceedings, the issue could be raised at that time. All these arguments are sideshow. I mean, I think it's coming down now. I mean, now there's no reason, right? They have everything. I think it's going to start speeding up, Crudy. But yeah, apparently, Trump, Crudy, you still think Trump's going to be the Republicans candidate in 2024?
Yes. Until the indictments have rung down upon him and he's sitting in jail. You know, it did turn the page, at least on the Nick Fuentes turkey turducken, didn't it, Dom? At least for a moment. I saw that Kanye.
Oh, God.
Went out and did a little appearance, Dom, on Alex Jones' show. And in a strange turn of fate, Alex Jones today, for perhaps the first time in the history of his existence, he was sort of the voice of reason.
You know what? We are in a special hell when Alex Jones becomes the voice of reason.
On Thursday, the Republican Jewish Coalition came out with a statement turning into InfoWars radio segment between conspiracy theorist webcaster Alex Jones, in this case the sane one, and rapper Kanye Yee West, the white nationalist live and there's more, Dom, and white nationalist live streamer Nick Fuentes, all of whom have taken meetings with the former President Donald Trump. You know, when your claim to fame is you're a white nationalist live streamer, I mean, you're basically Dan O'Donnell.
I mean, he's a podcaster. I mean, didn't Marjorie Taylor Greene go to one of his little events? So, I mean, this white nationalism stench runs entirely through the mega GOP.
Here's a little quote, Dom. Today's InfoWars show featuring Alex Jones, Nick Fuentes, and Kanye West, a disgusting triumvirate of conspiracy theorists, Holocaust deniers, and anti-Semites, was a horrific cesspool of dangerous, bigoted Jew hatred, said the RJC statement. We vehemently condemn those comments and call on all political leaders to reject these messages of hate and relegate them to the dustbin of history where they belong. But Dom, we haven't told anyone yet what Yee said. Do you want to break it?
I don't have it in front of me, but Ye basically said, Kanye, the artist formerly known as Kanye, while on the crazy ass Alex Jones show, wearing some sort of mask, like a, it was hard to determine. It looked kind of like
Bring out the gimp.
You know, from Pulp Fiction, like one of those. It didn't have a zipper on the mouth, but you couldn't see him. It was just weird. And literally said, I like Hitler. He was like very complimentary of Hitler. And Alex Jones was like, no, dude, I know you're a designer and I know you like the outfits, you know, but you don't really like, oh, no, Kanye. I like Hitler. Yeah. What?
Technically, Dom, the quote was, I see good things about Hitler. And not just the wardrobe. Come back. More Devil's Advocates.
We'll Hugo Boss.
President Trump, where is your leadership?
In prison.
Think you know politics? Think again. Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Got to get mine back. 844-967-2789. Join us on the phones. Crudy, I can't believe what? We're talking about Yay and Alex Jones, man.
You know what?
But go ahead.
You know what you remind me of there? Right there. Kanye West stealing Taylor Swift's Grammy and her thunder. That you are Kanye in this scenario.
Come on, man. I gave it up before. I'm just taking it back. Raw story reporting. After leaving it up for almost 2 months, the House Judiciary GOP's official Twitter account has finally deleted their infamous tweet that read simply, Kanye, Ilan, Trump. Now, why the House Judiciary, GOP House Judiciary Committee would tweet that, I'm curious. But here's what they go on to say.
Cancel culture.
The tweet went up on October 6th, and soon afterwards, rapper Kanye West started giving interviews and making statements that are unquestionably anti-Semitic. While both liberal and conservative figures called on the House Judiciary GOP to disavow the tweet, as West's anti-Semitism reached a fever pitch, the tweet was not deleted. But now that West has gone on InfoWars and blatantly told Alex Jones, I like Hitler, the people behind the account have apparently decided it was time to take it down. You're not Hitler, Jones told West. You're not a Nazi. Well, I see good things about Hitler, West said, later adding, every human being has value that they just brought to the table, especially Hitler. The Nazis did good things too, West said. We've got to stop dissing the Nazis all the time.
What's the Obama statement? How hard is it just to say Nazis?
Say
are
Nazis
bad?
Are bad.
Jesus Christ, man. You know what I'm saying? I don't mean to be profane for our Christian friends, but come on.
Come on, man.
How hard can that be, saying that Nazis are bad?
Yes. Thank you, Barack Obama.
What's going on, man? I mean, for real, the House Judiciary Committee Twitter account? Kanye, Elon, Trump? What kind of sick ass cult Kool-Aid drinking mess are you people into? What is it about? What about those folks, man? Tell me. I'd really like to know. 844-967-2789. Are you down with the Alex Jones? Are you down with the Kanye West? Yay? Are you down with Nick Fuentes hanging out with your 2024 GOP lead right now? Donald Trump? Chilling? Now, Crudy, I also did see that after that little Thanksgiving, pre-Thanksgiving day soiree that Trump hosted Kanye West and Nick Fuentes, that what they came out later and said they were just trolling the dude.
I did also see that.
Kanye West brought Nick Fuentes, the white nationalist, you know, the guy who wants to make a Christian Taliban here, who wants to make a good dictatorship here. And the kid's young too, right? And the guy looks like he's 12, but you know, nevertheless, obviously he has the president's ear. But they went down to troll Trump to make him look bad. I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, if this guy is your 2024 lead, and the GOP is in disarray.
Well, that goes without saying. 844-967-2789. Dom, a couple of local updates from right here in our backyard, great state of Wisconsin. The 8th Senate District vacated today by Alberta Darling. She resigned effective today, today being the first day of December, Dom. And we've got our first GOP candidate for the opening.
Oh, there's an announcement. Yes. You know, this is my Senate district. This is the district in which I live here in the great state of Wisconsin.
Well, that's why I'm bringing it to your attention on the radio.
Who is it? Dan Knodel.
It is Knodel.
Yeah.
Knodel launched his bid for the 8th Senate District, making him the first candidate to get in the race for the seat being vacated today by Alberta Darling. Knodel of Germantown said he's running to support law enforcement, expand educational opportunities, that means to voucher schools, and pursue additional tax changes. That means a flattening, a regressing of the tax codes for the benefit of rich people. What a great policy. He very much is
tax
championing
hike on everybody else, but the rich still get a tax break. That makes total sense for a Republican candidate. I fully expect him to, you know, advocate for that. Who's anybody saying who's a Dem candidate? Anybody step in yet?
Not yet that I'm aware of, but a statement from Knodel as he jumps in. He's in it to win it. No, here's what he said. When I entered office, Wisconsin was unable to control its spending, despite being one of the highest tax states in the country. With bold conservative reforms, we turned multi-billion dollar deficits into unprecedented surpluses while providing tax relief for every single Wisconsin family homeowner and small business. Darling's resignation takes effect at the end of the day today, Dom. Probably done.
Done. Yeah, it's after 5.
Governor Tony Evers hasn't yet announced his plans for calling a special election to fill the strongly GOP seat. And one other potential candidate, GOP State Rep Janelle Branchen.
Run, Janelle, run!
Is accusing the Elections Commission of breaking the law after it voted to delay turning over information she's been seeking on the state voter rolls. Branchen, in her role, current role, maybe short-term role, as chair of the Campaign and Elections Committee, has been seeking the information about a year. During yesterday's meeting, the commission voted unanimously to approach the Elections and Campaign Committee chair for the 23-24 session to see if the request was still valid. Something else I noted yesterday, you know, our pal Robin Voss, the Republican Speaker of the Assembly, a couple times he's been on the show. He was the very final person to give testimony to the January 6th committee.
Oh, really?
Robin Voss was the cherry. He was the final one. After Robin Voss's testimony, that was the very last witness that the January 6th committee has scheduled. Apparently, they're turning to writing the report. Last witness, last in, first out, right? Because by the end of the year, reportedly, they're going to issue a written report with all of the evidence presented. And I hope it has cross tabs, because I'm gonna tab Speaker Robin Voss. And then I'm probably going to cross tab Ron Johnson, because they also made a point. The January 6th committee made a point of bringing Ron Johnson. He was the first senator named specifically, right?
Yes.
Yep. And a lot of the attention for the American people, and I think some of that at the need, because the American people have a relatively brief attention span, a lot of the attention was pretty focused on, let's say, Trump and certain circles and what happened. But the sort of ancillary stuff, you know, who funded it, and, you know, which members of Congress should be facing criminal referrals to the Department of Justice, all that kind of stuff. That's what I want to see, Dom. And it could all come by what, Christmas, New Year's? It's going to be a happy holiday all the same.
lots of reading from the J6, 844-967-2789.
You know, I'm going to let Jim Santel do the reading, and I'm gonna look for the book report. I'll tune in Saturday mornings for Morning Cannolis, and we'll invite him on.
We'll cheat off his paper. Wisco Paul, you are up. Welcome. Happy Friday Eve. Paulie, what do you got for us?
Hey, Paul.
Yeah, same to you guys. Hey. Tom, you live in that district of Darlings. It's a pretty important district, because if the Democrats could somehow capture it, they wouldn't. The Senate couldn't impeach and do this other crazy stuff. So yeah. Does a Democrat even have a Does the Democrat even have a chance in that gerrymandered district? And that's my question. Okay.
I mean, there's a chance. I mean, I would think, Paul, I mean, certainly it's an underdog, right? Maybe 45, 55, something like that. But there's always a chance, man. I mean, it's within range. Let's put it that way.
I believe it's a 6-point Republican lean district. But when you talk about a spring election, this isn't motivated by here's what motivates the vote this spring. The balance of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So an informed electorate should go and cast their vote in April. So it's really about who informs their side, the importance of what's coming up. The secondary, probably the alignment of the special election with the spring election, the primary being in February, I believe around the 18th, and then the actual general being in April. Dom, the court will turn people out, but it's not going to be like a fall election. It's not going to have a midterm turnout. It's not going to have a presidential turnout. And quite frankly, anything can happen in a special.
Yeah. Yes.
That's why they're special. Just ask Patty Shackner in the 10th, right? Patty won the 10th in the special.
In the special. And she lost then in the next round, right? But I get that, man. And I'm
different dynamics depending on the time of year.
Lots of different dynamics. No doubt.
Smaller.
But that's why you play the game, right? And so I'm very much looking forward to see who on the Democratic side is going to step up and make this fight.
We can't let
this one just sit.
I'm going to start recruiting candidates. I'm going to start daring people to run. Double dog daring them. That or streak the quad. One or the other, man.
Make a choice. Maybe both.
844-967-2789. Dom, I got to get back to a guy, but I think we've got permission to broadcast the Badger volleyball on the Civic Media Network on the respective Badger station. So I'm going to do a little math tonight. I'm going to make sure that we can clear the decks for that we're not blown off some other thing. But the Badgers are going into the NCAA tournament. I believe tomorrow night's the first game, and they're the returning national champions.
Wow, nice.
I know someone said to me earlier this year, you know, UW is really a volleyball school, and it's kind of true.
Yeah, it is.
So we will broadcast that if we're able, and I'm pretty sure we are. I just got to do some math and make sure I'm not crushing my engineers in any way, shape, or form.
Again.
Before they crush me, right? Right? Because that wouldn't be good for the holidays, Tom. I don't want to be crushed.
Thompson saying on NBC News is reporting that the J6 committee will release transcript of interviews along with the report. It's expected before Christmas. And they're going to meet on Friday on potential criminal recommendations to the Department of Justice. MSNBC is reporting right now. So we're going to, I mean, come the holidays, man, get your crazy uncle together. You get to review some of the transcripts and the interviews and the report. It should be fascinating.
Dominic, here's the real thing I'm waiting for. Somebody hurry up and leak the Trump taxes, would you? You know somebody's going to in the poorest house. I mean, the house when the caucus gets a crack at the taxes, Dom, and my understanding, maybe the individual members of the caucus aren't going to be able to see the Trump taxes, but the Democratic caucus is going to get a crack at the Trump taxes, and I'm pretty sure they're going to set them aside for posterity for the American people in some way, shape, or form. Even if you got to do
on the cabinet,
even if you got to do the Samuel Alito leak method. Hey, why haven't we gotten to the bottom of the Supreme Court leak? Is it because it's Samuel Alito?
It's a great question, Michael.
I suspect it might be.
And what about Ginni Thomas? What's up with that? I mean, what was her role? And is there going to be any other investigation into that? I mean, Roberts, are you okay with all this? I mean, I'd like to hear. People want to know.
Here is what the Supreme Court did decide today, Dom. To continue to stay Biden's student loan forgiveness program for the holidays. So we've been on the Ebone watch. Ebone is forgiveness eligible as a guy with some student loan debt. He's got his fingers crossed in the control booth. The Supreme Court says Biden's student loan forgiveness program remains blocked for now, like cheese in the colon, Dom. But they did schedule arguments for February. So Tell you what, Ebone by next June-ish.
Oh, I can't wait. It's gonna be glorious.
You might find out.
But the good news is, in the meantime, you're not collecting the VIG. You know, there's stops on all that right now. So good. Good. A little break for, you know, some of us. I mean, you know, the Republicans are fine with, you know, the trillions of dollars in tax breaks for the very wealthy. I mean, we can certainly do a little bit for our fellow citizens. Called an overdue investment in education.
As long as it's not an organized labor, right?
No, well, of course not. I mean, only if it's really, really expensive. And then you got to do what you got to do.
Come back with us, Devil's Advocates. One last segment for your phone calls. Dial us up, 844-967-2789.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the last segment of this Friday Eve. So if you got something to say, call us right now, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I bet you Donald Trump is gloating at this very moment. CNN's bringing down the hammer, firing people right now. Daily Beast reporting. A day after CNN chief Chris Light informed network staff that layoffs were incoming, the hammer came down. Variety was the first to report that a number of notable correspondents and production staff were given pink slips on Thursday, including polarizing political reporter and editor-at-large Chris Saliza. He's a free agent, could take your job. Although I was never a fan.
He's fine, good enough. I mean, someone's got to do it.
Here's how the journalist at the Daily Beast describes it. Besides Saliza, who is known for his simplistic both sides punditry, CNN, don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out, right? Nothing like a warm goodbye. CNN also parted ways with correspondent Allison Kosick, Alexandria Field, and Martin Savage, as well as Marianne Fox, the VP of Northeast News. Furthermore, CNN will end all live programming on sister network Headline News, resulting in the cancellation of the long-running morning program Morning Express. The show's anchor, Robin Mead, who has been with the network since 2001, and other HLN hosts will also lose their jobs. So everybody's getting canned. Over at the CNN, they probably want Trump desperately to run again, right? I mean, their ratings.
If we look back at what happened in 2016, I mean, don't all media companies want Trump to run again? I mean, they make money by eyeballs and clicks, right? That's how they do it. So, controversy and that crap show, yeah, they'll be happy to put that on the screens every single day.
You know, Iowa caucuses are probably going to happen for the Republicans, but my understanding, next day or two, the Democrats are going to throw Iowa overboard. We're going to probably see, and I'm not sure, it might be Nevada, might be a combination of states, but they're going to leapfrog Iowa. Iowa's out on its ass, the Iowa caucuses. I mean, dude, what are we going to do if we can't spend a cold-ass Iowa night in January of 2024? In Dubuque, Iowa, asking the pollster why Hillary's going to win by 26 points that night.
Like, dude, you sure you don't want to adjust that poll a little bit? Well, that's what the data says. Well, okay.
Our first time in the caucus process, Hillary Clinton was favored by 26. It was basically a coin flip with Bernie Sanders out of the 16 election.
That was the Loras College guy.
They didn't issue polling in 2020 when we returned to Dubuque, Tom. But if I recall, that was a night where there were a lot of candidates, right? Think Amy Klobuchar and Pete Buttigieg. And Joe Biden had Klobuchar's contingent not had to part for failing to have proper viability, enough votes in the room.
Right.
Joe Biden wouldn't have achieved viability in Dubuque, Iowa. Like his candidacy was too far below the radar to count into the votes cast. He barely skimmed by and then just barely beat Buttigieg. But no, he didn't beat Buttigieg. My bad. Not even in the room. I believe it was Bernie, Buttigieg, everybody else, and then Biden. Biden was the last viable candidate.
It squeaked in, yeah.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
like well, the votes, that those that didn't qualify could then, what, recast for somebody else?
Yes. If there wasn't viability initially, but anyways, Joe Biden, remembering his experience in Iowa, Joe Biden probably has final say, right? He's the head of the Democratic Party. When you got a president, he runs the party. So Joe Biden tonight is going to whisper in some dude's ear, probably named Rico or Rocco or something. It's going to tell him, not Iowa. He's going to tell us, you know, like Crudy and Dom, you're spending time in Vegas. Or Crudy
okay,
and Dom, you're,
I'm good with-
right? You're going to Michigan where weed's legal. But it could be Minnesota. We play there. Probably hear us there right now, KTNF, 950 AM. But those are the primary probable three. But everybody else, the circus time, the party of disarray, they're still coming to Iowa. So we can also go see DeSantis and Trump have their accurate
scrums. Oh, great. That'd be fun.
Do you remember Scott Walker trying to pull the protesters' signs away?
Literally the guy on the stage, Scott Walker, wanting to be president. You know, there's protesters. Some people don't like Scott Walker, and I would agree with them. But
Pizza
whatever.
Mike.
They came down to Iowa, and they held up a, you know, anti-Scott Walker sign, whatever. They were right in the front couple of rows when Scott Walker was, you know, in front of the hay bales giving his speech. And Walker reached out with a microphone in one hand and tried to grab the sign, you know, this cardboard sign out of someone's hands. I mean, literally while he's speaking, trying to violate someone else's right to free speech. Of course, you know, we know Walker. That's how he does things. But, I mean,
holding
I don't
on
want to go to Iowa, dude.
In quiet desperation is the wanker way.
Wanker.
Yeah.
April. Now, I did see some reporting, Crudy, that Biden made kind of an offhand comment to a reporter recently that about running in 2024, or I don't know about that, or we'll see about that, or something along those lines. You think Biden's going to run again?
Well, the new polling, according to Charles Franklin, 45% favorable, 55% unfavorable. That's about as good as Joe's been in some time. 844-967-2789. Let's sneak in a last couple voices. Rico Suave, how you doing, man?
Hey, Rico.
Hey, doing all right, Crew and Dom. How you guys doing?
Real good, man. What do you got for us?
Good. Hey, you were mentioning that they talked about, well, the J6 committee, you know, hand down recommendations for possible prosecution, hopefully anyway. And I was wondering, do you think maybe, just maybe, that one of the only senators mentioned in direct testimony by the name, what was it? Oh, Ron Johnson could possibly be on that list? I would think so.
Rico, at minimum, he's a... Take care, buddy. At minimum... He's a fact witness, right? He received the call, presumably from Jim Troupas, but reportedly from a Trump lawyer talking about U.S. Senator Ron Johnson that asked him to deliver the fraudulent Trump electors, which I think the DOJ is probably going from seditious conspiracy to the actual coup attempt, the procedural coup. So the next run of indictments, I bet... probably include some fraudulent Trump electors. That's just one man's prediction. Andrew Hitt hopes I'm wrong. Folks, we are the devil's advocates.
Hey, if you let him get away with it, what's going to stop him from doing it again?
Rick Smith, thank you very much. Charles Franklin, fine pollster, thank you as well. Tomorrow, Dr. Harvey K on the Friday edition of Devil's Advocate. Stick around tonight. Wisco, raised in the Wisco, in the Shaw, and right here, the Empowered Caregivers. Keep it locked, Civic Media.
This staffer stated that Senator Johnson wished to hand deliver to the vice president the fake electors' votes from Michigan and Wisconsin.
Get a great effing criminal defense lawyer. You're going to need it.
I, 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 I.